another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, brought to you on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today.
You noticed we've gone back to cold weather again.
Well, this is kind of the norm now. This is just what happens. And I have to think we're kind of in the home stretch. I mean, please say you agree with me. Like, kind of?
Kind of.
Sort of?
Kind of.
Sort
of. It's a long way to next week, but we're supposed to see 30s next week.
It's amazing how 30s is a heat wave for us. It's just
yeah, especially you from Texas.
Shocking to me.
It's
what we do here. It's just what we do.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we'll speak with Bishop John Lavore of New Ulm about the new evangelization.
And find out how you can help St. Paul's outreach in their new evangelization efforts on college campuses here and around the country.
Plus, we have some reaction to the all-new 2014 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series talks. We'll share some information on how you can take part in these local events centered on prayer.
And Deacon Joseph Mihalik joins us to reflect on age-old wisdom about growing in faith through troubling times.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. The latest edition came out just yesterday. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
And no man, woman, or child is safe while the legislature is in session.
That's right, and it's the start of it's coming up pretty soon here on February 25th. And we've got a front page story about the session. You know, in Minnesota, we have an organization called the Minnesota Catholic Conference. That's the official voice of the church on matters of public policy. And among the things that they do each year is work during the state legislative session to support bills and policies that uphold the dignity of life and protect the poor and promote the common good. And they do this in part by identifying some key priorities at the state capitol. And our story this week highlights a number of those. And one of them is religious liberty and conscience protection. With last year's passage of the law legalizing same-sex marriage in the state, the Catholic Conference will be advocating for strengthening protections for those who have moral objections to the solemnization or the celebration of those unions. Because there's a real chance that businesses and other organizations will face significant penalties for declining to provide goods and services for same-sex ceremonies.
Happened in other states.
And the Minnesota Department of Human Rights has indicated as much that, you know, they would do that. So very important issue to watch. And another issue they'll be giving attention to is payday lending reform. Now, payday lenders are businesses that offer these short-term loans, usually at a pretty high interest rate, that are due on a borrower's next payday. That's the name.
So banks do that, too.
Yeah, they do. And during these difficult economic times, you know, of the last couple of years, the number of these lenders has expanded, and they make a lot of money doing this, and at the same time, more borrowers are getting into more serious debt trouble.
Yeah. Sure.
And the Catholic Conference is working toward legislation that would, among other things, cap the number of payday loans that a person could take, you know, with the hope of helping to keep more people out of the debt trap there. So listeners can read more about the issues the Catholic Conference is focusing on in our special legislative section this week. And that section also includes some information on a number of events coming up for people to learn more about the issues that will be addressed this session, and also some tips on how people can communicate with their legislators, some of the do's and don'ts of doing that.
Ah, interesting. Well, a very interesting debut tonight in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite places to attend plays here is the Open Window Theater in Minneapolis. And Jeremy Stanberry, the artistic director, and the crew there put on, you know, just awesome performances every year. And the new play that, as you said, debuts today is A Man for All Seasons. And this is the classic one about St. Thomas More. And as many people know, he was the Chancellor of England under King Henry VIII, who refused to condone the king's divorce and remarriage, and also refused to pledge allegiance to Henry in ways that would violate his faith. So the play dramatizes the story and deals with issues of religious liberty and conscience that we still deal with today. And we had a chance to interview Jeremy recently about the play, so let's take a listen to what he had to say about it and the themes it explores.
We're still dealing with some interesting issues today regarding the government's role or involvement or control over issues of personal belief and conscience and things like that when it comes to lawmaking and just interesting issues that we continue to grapple with in America with, you know, finding the right balance between the separation of church and state. And of course, this play really grapples with those issues and deals with those issues in a very dramatic way. And it's such a quality show and a story that I think continues to grab the interest of the modern imagination for a variety of reasons. You know, when we're dealing with a time and a place and circumstances and events that are so separated from our lives today in modern America, you know, what is it that interests us? What is it that intrigues us and draws us to a show like this? And I think it's, you know, not so much being able to relate with the historical events and circumstances that were taking place, but it's the characters, it's the people involved, and that these were real people to some degree. You know, there are liberties that the playwright has taken, and yet you're still dealing with historical figures and very rich characters. And you know, as much as times change, human nature doesn't. You know, human nature remains the same, and I think that there's a lot that can be learned and drawn from the characters in the show and just the display of human nature and how these circumstances and how people deal with dramatic and remarkable and grave circumstances. You know, and there's something about these sort of larger-than-life characters, too, that you know, when you're dealing with somebody who's a canonized saint as well, how do you also make them relatable? And again, I think this intimate setting really helps with that.
Jeremy is the driving force behind Open Window Theater, and I'm so delighted that he's been able to bring faith-based performing arts to the Twin Cities and make it work.
Yeah, we sure need that kind of thing, and this play will continue through March 16th, so people can get information, ticket information from our story, and like you said, you know, he's just does such a great job, and it's such a great venue for theater. It's a small black
box
theater.
Where is it?
It's in Minneapolis. It's very near the Basilica.
Okay.
It's in that area.
Yep.
And so you're really close to the action in this little theater. It's just a great place to watch a play, especially a classic drama like this one.
Wonderful.
And a faith-based movie opening up soon, too.
Yeah, you got to like this evangelization of the culture here, huh?
Absolutely. When does this come out?
This
Son of God.
That's right, Son of God. It comes out at the end of this month. February 28th, I believe, is the debut date. And I had a chance to see a screener of it this past week. And it's a beautifully filmed movie about the life of Christ from his birth through his ministry, death, and resurrection. And this is coming from the filmmakers Roma Downey and her husband Mark Burnett, who created that 10-hour miniseries The Bible that was such a success last year. And the acting is good. The cinematography is beautiful. The music is from an Oscar-winning composer, so everything is top-notch. And you know, it follows, it's faithful to the gospel story, so that's a plus as well. And I think it's a great movie for faith formation groups to attend together, and the producers created this wonderful website. It's sonofgodmovie.com that includes the trailer, some group ticket information, and a discussion guide about the film. And the Archdiocese of Washington, with the support of Cardinal Wuerl there, is also making a video discussion guide about the film available on its website. So February 28th, just before the start of Lent, so it's a great time to you know, go out in mass, I think, as Catholics, show support for this movie, because you don't always get this kind of thing from Hollywood.
Right.
Something in the Catholic spirit this week is the annual report of the Archdiocese. Now, this can sometimes seem a bit dry, but it's got some important information in it.
Right. This is for fiscal year 2013, and it's something we've published in the paper for many years, every year. This year, there are some new things about it. It's a longer version with more explanation, and the full audited report is also available this year on the Archdiocese website. So Bishop Bechet wrote a column that talks about the report and why it's important to be accountable to the people we serve. And he thanks Catholics throughout the Archdiocese for their generosity, of course, in supporting the programs and ministries that help so many people in our local church. So folks can read more about that report in this week's issue, or again, see the full version online on the Archdiocesan website.
And what's in the Rediscover section?
Focus this week on iconic prayers.
And what are iconic prayers?
Well, you know, we're thinking of the mainstays, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, and others. And you'll like this, Paul. We have a story in this section about a man who started learning about the iconic prayers of the church from listening to Relevant Radio on his drive to work every day.
Oh, how nice.
And that actually
I do like that.
Isn't that great? And that led to further interest about the church and him eventually being initiated into the church as Catholic at the Easter Vigil 3 years ago.
Oh, cool.
So we have a great story about him. Father John Paul Erickson writes about the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be.
Okay.
And we have another columnist writing about some other prayers like Hail Holy Queen, some great mainstays, but maybe not as well-known among some people. Just such a treasure trove, I'd say, of prayers we have as Catholics, and that's what we explore in this week's section.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joe. It's always good to visit with you. The latest issue of the Catholic Spirit came out just yesterday, and so it should be in your home now.
That's right. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour in Answering the Call, we'll talk with Bishop John Lavore of New Ulm about the new evangelization and especially how we can help reach out to college-age Catholics.
And encouragement and spiritual growth during troubling times. We could all use some help keeping an even keel during challenging times in our lives. Preview of a local talk that does just that. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambeau, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical need. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sada. College campuses are battlegrounds for the souls of young people. Unfortunately, many times the enemy is winning.
Certainly, and St. Paul's outreach is on the front lines of this battle. The locally based ministry builds engaging, faith-filled communities on college campuses here in Minnesota and in six other states. Through a variety of outreach and formation activities, college students are brought to a deeper relationship with Christ and the fullness of the Catholic Church.
And for more information on the important mission of St. Paul's outreach, we're joined by Bishop John Lavore of New Ulm, who spoke with the St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission audience this morning, and Gordy DeMaray, founder and executive director of St. Paul's Outreach. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us in today's Answering the Call, Your Excellency and Gordy.
Oh, you're sure welcome.
It's so good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course.
Your Excellency, college has come to be more and more of a challenging ground for Catholic young people. Do you think the temptations and pressures to fall away from the faith on campus are increasing, or are we just noticing them more?
Well, I think they are increasing. The environment on college campuses, the culture that we see there is... It's wide open to any type of thought, and they're all looked upon as equal. That there's not one better than the other. So there's a big challenge. But because of that, there is an openness to the truth when they encounter the truth, and that's what's so important for Catholic young people to be on campus and evangelizing.
And Gordy, tell us a little bit about St. Paul's outreach, their vital mission. I know that the ministry on college campuses continues to grow, but so does the need, correct?
The need is tremendous. The majority of college students lose their faith if they have it intact when they arrive at campus. And so in SPO, we've been about for the last 28 years trying to bring Catholic faith alive on college campuses. We began here in St. Paul at the University of St. Thomas in 1986, and in the last 6 or 7 years have expanded to all around the country, establishing 6 mission centers outside of Minnesota.
You have some absolutely daunting competition. I was saying a few weeks back that when my daughter was in college, we went to a parents' weekend, and we were treated to kind of an open house of displays of various things that are available on campus. And I think St. Paul's Outreach was one of them, and there were other faith-based things. Then, besides the strictly secular things like sports and so forth, there were also some darker ones like Wicca. This has to be just an amazing challenge, not only for the students to keep their faith, but for you to help them in that regard as well.
Well, absolutely, it is. You know, you mentioned Wicca. I have a daughter who's a missionary in Kansas City, and they're doing some outreach at a community college that we just began last September, Johnson County Community College, which is the largest community college in the country. And these missionaries walked on to this campus and started to engage other students in relationships. And the first girl that my daughter met, they went out to lunch, and my daughter discovered during the conversation that this gal's faith was Wicca.
Oh, my.
And but because our missionaries are deeply in love with Jesus Christ themselves and just have this eagerness to love others and to be ministers of that love to others, that over the course of this semester, this young gal's life is being transformed because she's seeing in missionaries people who are concerned about her, who are love her, and who witness by their lives to the truth of the faith.
That's great news. We have a few testimonials from college students and missionaries about how St. Paul's Outreach has made a difference in their life. Let's listen to some of those.
Really, St. Paul's Outreach and the students of St. Paul's Outreach helped teach me how to live a life for Christ.
As for myself, I have been able to really experience the community among sisters and brothers in Christ and how imperative that is to have that community in the culture that we live in today.
I grabbed on to it. Grabbed on to Christ in my life, and St. Paul's Outreach really transformed my life.
I learned that we are not created for ourselves. Like, man was created by God, for God, and we can only find our true happiness in Him.
Truly dedicating this time to being here and not do anything else except be with God is what I definitely needed.
The SPO mission is to reach out to people, call them into the mission, form them, and then send them back out as SPO missionaries, and then also to just live out this mission like in the church and in their daily lives once they're out of college.
Whether we're chowing down lunch or on the frisbee field or in class, it's a unity of people progressing together, learning, praying, worshiping, having fun. And I've met so many people from around the country that have inspired me, and that I've had some of the deepest relationships grow and had the most fun being with these people.
The support that I've found being with other Catholic students, knowing that I'm not the only one, but I'm part of a community building towards spreading the gospel throughout the country and throughout the world.
What I'm going to take away most is an understanding of how to live out my Catholic faith every single day, but not only how to live my faith every day, but also how to be able to share that with other people that I meet.
Some really strong testimonials there. And to Bishop LaVore, why do you think the church needs this type of active, really active outreach to college students to keep them connected with or to help reconnect them with the faith?
You know, the Pope Francis talks about accompaniment. And what that means is walking with someone along the path of faith, love for Jesus Christ. And the young people have, you know, because of the way family life is today, it's so disjointed. The families hardly ever see one another because all the people are going in different directions.
Sure.
So that accompaniment is kind of missing in the family, but they need it somewhere. And I think that's where SPO comes in, to go on to college campuses, to be with the young people, to form relationships based on Jesus, and then to keep walking with these young people and answering their questions, because there's things on their heart that nobody haven't communicated to anybody yet. And SPO is a place where that can happen. And once you open your heart to our Lord and others accompany you on that way, it opens your path to living the gospel in the way Jesus has called you to live it. So I think we need organizations like SPO to be on campus to accompany people.
Gordy, we've pretty well established that a college campus is a battleground, a really vital battleground. But a lot of us, probably most of us, of course, aren't on those front lines. How can we help in this battle?
Well, I think we can help first by praying. I mean, Pope Francis talks about the power of prayer and intercession. And I believe that when prayer and intercession is the first front in this battle line, and we need people who are faithfully interceding. One of our alumni is a Carmelite nun in California, and she is every Saturday for the last 24 years, actually, she's been interceding for our work because of her own experience. I think people maybe get themselves off the hook sometimes because they think, well, somebody else should go do the missionary work. I think all of us need to embrace this missionary call in the new evangelization. So people can support our work by actually living the gospel more fully themselves in their daily lives. But, of course, we also need partners in our work to stand by us financially. The opportunities are vast. The need is great. We cannot say yes to all of the possibilities before us in terms of doors that are opening. And we need people to see the value of this work and to stand alongside of us with their financial support so that we can train more missionaries and send more missionaries out into the field.
And where can people get more information on SPO in general if they're thinking about making a contribution?
We have a fantastic website, www.spoweb.org.
Okay.
You could spend all kinds of time there. We also have our annual benefit dinner.
That's right.
23 years, we've owned Mardi Gras evening.
And
there'll be, you know, 500 or 600 Catholic faithful that'll be gathering to hear more about the work of SPO, and to list the highlight of these evenings is always the young people who stand up and give their witness, their testimonies.
Right.
And so it's an informative evening, but even more than that, it's a powerfully spiritual evening filled with faith and hope that edifies all who come.
Bishop Lavore, my understanding is that you spoke about the new evangelization to Men on a Mission this morning. What are the three top things you share with people about what they can do to further the new evangelization?
Well, I think the first thing, and this is kind of following the Holy Pope Francis's basic teaching, is to first of all get to know Jesus Christ yourself, and that comes from the Scriptures. And so to immerse yourself in the Gospels, and so that inflames your love for Jesus. And the second thing then is to convert. And everybody can have a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. His love for us is infinite, but we limit it by our own attitude. So we constantly need to convert to the Gospel. So read the Gospel, love Jesus, convert our hearts, and then once we're fortified in that way, to go out as missionaries. And wherever we are, whether that be at school, on campuses, workplaces, sociology, politics, economics, media, wherever we are, we need to go out and live the gospel, because that's the way we're going to change our culture from a culture of death to a culture of life and love. So those three things: read the scriptures, conversion of heart, and then go out and live it with your life.
And live it, right. Now, Bishop Cousins is the first SPO missionary alum to become a bishop. And do you guys think, either of you, that SPO is sort of a catalyst for vocations to the priesthood?
We've had over 150 of our alumni who have gone on to pursue priesthood and religious life. In fact, there's a new religious order in Bishop LaVoire's diocese of New Ulm whose founding persons were SPO students and missionaries. So, definitely.
Fantastic. Well, that's got to be a great honor, a great testimony to the effectiveness of SPO to have one of your alums become the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis.
It's a great blessing for us. He's also now the president of our board of directors. I met Bishop Cousins when he was 20 years old, after his sophomore year at Benedictine College. He came to Minnesota and lived in one of our summer households with a group of men, and he says that summer he learned how to pray. We had an hour prayer time in the morning, and he said he sat down the first day, and after 10 minutes he looked at his watch and said, "What am I going to do for the next 50 minutes?" But by the end of that summer, I think being exposed to this life of prayer and learning to pray, and also other young people who loved God deeply and loved the church, reawakened within him, he says, his own vocational calling, which has led to us being blessed now by his service and leadership as our bishop.
Bishop John LaVoire and Gordy D. Murray, thank you so much for joining us this morning to visit a little bit about the new evangelization and St. Paul's outreach.
You're welcome. It's a privilege.
Yes, it's been a privilege to be with you.
Thank you so much. The next Men on a Mission breakfast takes place on March 14th, 7:30 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. It features John Crudelli, certified speaker and coach, speaking on courage to connect, being a Catholic man in a secular world.
And if you want to support the important work St. Paul's Outreach does to build engaging, faith-filled communities on college campuses here in Minnesota and other places in the United States, come to their benefit banquet on March 4th. That banquet will be held the evening of Tuesday, March 4th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Bloomington. Cocktail hour begins at 6 p.m. Dinner and a program follow. Attendees will have the opportunity to speak with current SPO missionaries and program participants, as well as learn more about this important ministry. Cost is $87 a person, and you can register today at spoweb.org or call 651-451-6114. Again, that number is 651-451-6114.
And for more information, visit the Rediscover Hour show page. We've set up links there for more information on St. Paul's Outreach Benefit Banquet and their Men on a Mission breakfasts. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Now, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question.
We pulled a few folks aside following one of Father Bill Baer's talks in the Rediscover Faith Speakers Series. We asked them, what made the biggest impression on you at tonight's talk? Here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Teresa, and I'm from St. John the Baptist Parish in Savage. And the thing I liked about tonight's talk was the way Father Baer said that often we want to get rid of something in our life that keeps us, that we think keeps us from praying, and really how God sometimes is drawing us closer to Him through those very things, those trials and struggles that we're having.
I'm Wayne, and I'm a parishioner at the Cathedral in St. Paul. I just love the simple but profound questions. Why do we pray? Why do we eat? Why do we breathe? And also the reinforcement of everyone honoring the Lord's Day with fasting, Mass, and naps. Love naps.
Hi, I'm Kathy from St. Nicholas in Newmarket, and tonight's talk was, I love the real examples that he gave, the question-answer dynamic, a little bit of humor, but he really helped you understand prayer and that call to it, and I think the most beautiful part was how God calls you to prayer. And that itch, when he talked about the itch, and it was like, oh, knowing that that's God, and that desire. And then he talked about the Lord's Day, reconnecting with the Lord's Day, and how beautiful that is to reconnect your prayer life. That was really touching to me. And he just had great examples that helped draw you in. And then the quotes from St. Augustine and the prayer from St. Augustine at the end was just beautiful.
Hi, Mary Kay from St. Michael's Prior Lake. And I like tonight's talk because it talked about how you have God being the lead, such as dancing, and it takes two, God and you. And I liked about the Lord's Day and how it can be very a restful day. No worries, no hurry.
Hi, I am Dale, and I'm from St. Peter's Parish in Mendota. And this evening's talk, you know, how you pray is something we generally don't give a whole lot of thought to. It's one of those things that's kind of esoteric and very difficult to put a handle on. And I struggle with that myself. I many times sit down and would like to pray. I go sometimes to Mass early to pray. And you know, your mind wanders and you kind of wonder if there's something wrong with you. For some reason, you're here and with the purpose of praying and dedicating the time for it, yet it's very difficult sometimes. It just doesn't happen. And I've always wondered, you know, why it doesn't happen and what I can do to help that happen. So what I like tonight was is giving me some tools to work with.
Both talks in the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speakers Series are offered again at two different sites starting Monday, February 24th. Rediscover Why Pray and Rediscover How to Pray highlight the beauty of prayer and offer insight on how to pray gathered from 2,000 years of church experience.
And each talk in the two-part series is presented in consecutive weeks at each site. Here are the dates for Our Lady of Grace in Edina. February 24th is Rediscover Why Pray, presented by Father Bill Baer. And March 3rd is Rediscover How to Pray, presented by Pat and Ken Millay.
And here are the dates for St. John the Baptist, New Brighton. February 25th, Rediscover Why Pray, presented by Father Bill Baer. March 4th, Rediscover How to Pray, presented by Pat and Kenna Millay. All Rediscover Faith 2014 Speakers Series talks begin at 7 p.m., run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. Talks are free. Details at rediscover-faith.org under events.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear about how times of crisis and difficulty can be a time for growth. We'll be right back.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Alessandro Manzoni's novel of 1842, The Betrothed, would become the defining novel of Italian literature. Set in the horrifying circumstances of Milan in 1648, the novel follows the fortunes of a young betrothed couple, Renzo and Lucia. Manzoni portrays the historical realities of 17th century Milan and weaves into his story a number of historical figures, perhaps most notably the Cardinal Archbishop of Milan, Federigo Borromeo, the bold and brilliant cousin and successor to St. Charles Borromeo. The composer Giuseppe Verdi dedicated his Requiem to Manzoni. Pope Francis says The Betrothed is his favorite novel. The portrait of Borromeo might suggest why.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Wow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Now, these are challenging times in our local church. Catholics are saddened by what they're reading and hearing in the news. And, of course, troubling times are really just part of life in general, from family disputes to serious health problems. But we shouldn't be discouraged.
Now, if you'd like the opportunity to come together with fellow local Catholics and reflect on age-old wisdom about growing through troubling times, there's an opportunity coming up.
The Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute invites you to the first talk in the 2014 Learn and Live Lecture Series featuring Catechetical Institute instructor Deacon Joe Mihalik. And the talk takes place on Wednesday, February 19th, and it's titled Crisis and Difficulty, A Time for Growth. Now, Deacon Mihalik joins us this morning with a preview. Good morning, Deacon.
Good morning.
So tell me, what made you decide to offer this talk in the first place?
Well, I first actually gave this talk to the folks in diaconate formation just before Christmas.
Okay.
About 45 people. And this was just after some more of the news broke and the Archbishop situation got into the news. And I, like many others, was just trying to discern how to respond in my own life to what I was hearing. And I recognized that the folks in our diaconate formation obviously had questions and concerns and were troubled by these things. So we had a day of reflection already scheduled, and I decided to take the time to speak about this.
We've certainly had our share of troubling times in the church, but this isn't the first time this has happened either, is it?
No, it's actually part of the human condition, and it's part of all of church history.
Yeah, it's a result of original sin.
In the very beginning, yes, and it's a result of our own sin. It's a result of being in spiritual warfare. It's a result of being still on the journey to heaven.
Now, is your talk kind of a response to what you perceive that people are looking for in these times?
Yes, in part. The talk isn't directly addressing specifics of what we're going through. That's not really even my purview. I don't know enough.
Right.
It's not for me to respond to that. But it really is inspired more by, okay, this is one example of many, and it could be very personal difficulties that we go through, and we all have them. Times of suffering, times of just difficulty, times of trying to discern, what is God doing with me? How do I understand the circumstances of life? As well as these major issues that are taking place. So I'm really going to try to address what is a good biblically based way of responding to crisis and difficulty in our own lives.
Now, what do you mean by the biblical wisdom? Could you elaborate on that part?
Sure. Well, I mean, this is nothing new. So
right.
The scriptures are just filled. And in fact, as I went more into the scripture, I just realized an awful lot of Old Testament and certainly New Testament wisdom is directed to the early disciples, and how do we respond to persecution,
to suffering,
our own sin? What's a realistic way to understand what's going on, and how do we make a good response?
One of the things that I've noticed over the years of praying the Liturgy of the Hours is that so many of the Psalms seem to have been written during troubled times. Psalms of lament, of prayer for victory in an upcoming battle. These are things which are relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
Constantly relevant. I mean, we always have trouble in our lives.
Absolutely. And all these psalms of lament and whatnot, keep in mind, are all in the framework of the entire body of the Psalms. So the Psalms begin with a praise and acclamation of the righteous one. It's really speaking about Christ right from Psalm 1, Psalm 2. It's really about Jesus. And the Psalter concludes with a hymn of great praise to God, Psalm 150. So that's the context. So everything we're going to talk about is going to be in the context of the bigger picture, and how does God see this? That's the real realism here.
Well, give us some practical examples of truths which can help us grow in faith during times of trouble.
Sure. Yeah, this is just going to be tip of the iceberg because there's so much here, but I'm going to make 5 points in the talk.
All right.
And I'll just run through those real quickly, and of course the talk will elaborate on all these. First point. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by difficulty. Don't be surprised by suffering. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised by persecution. Secondly, be faithful witnesses to the truth and to what we already know. You know, one of the big temptations in any time of difficulty for any of us is to suddenly get thrown by it and to start to question all sorts of things. Am I in the right vocation? Have I made the right commitment? Is the church going to survive? Am I going to survive what I'm going through? And the first principle of wisdom is, well, be faithful to what we already know there. So don't be surprised, number one. Number two, be faithful witnesses and faithful to what we already know.
That kind of takes gritting your teeth sometimes, doesn't it?
Well,
it's sort of an inner battle. You might want to turn away.
Yeah, there's some of that, and that's where the virtue of fortitude and perseverance comes in, absolutely. But even more than gritting our teeth, and this is where it gets, we have to go further, the third point is humble ourselves and repent. I think one of our reactions can be almost an angry response.
I was going to say angry and mad and why me?
And this is happening to me as if
what did I do?
Yeah, what did I do? Or gee, I deserve. We have this subtle way of thinking.
Or I did this, so I deserve it. Yeah,
I'm
punished.
Being faithful, so shouldn't things be working out?
Uh huh.
And in fact, God will allow all sorts of things to happen because He's trying to teach us that really we don't have the resources within us. And we can have courage and strength, but in the end it's going to be His strength in us. So we need to humble ourselves, let Him begin to purify us, and that leads to the fourth point, which is we need to become united even more deeply to the only source of our wealth, that's Him. And that involves surrender. This is really following the example of Jesus. One of the things we'll see is that if there's anyone who deserved praise, acclamation, was the absolute righteous one and deserved everything to go well, it was Jesus. If there's anyone in history for whom things on a human level did not go well, it was Jesus.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
But constantly, he's in the scripture, we see this witness, he's constantly returning to the Father, constantly surrendering himself, constantly obediently giving himself over to the will of the Father, who has a plan for us and who knows. This is the thing that we forget so easily. God is not bothered by difficulty. He does not fret. Nothing. He's not up in heaven, wringing his hands saying, gee, what do I do? Nothing is beyond him. In fact, he uses everything, absolutely everything in our lives, to draw us more deeply to Him. And so the final point is nothing has changed. The vocation to love is still there.
Isn't that amazing?
His love is still there. And so ultimately our final response is going to be one of love and one of singing His praises.
I love how you say God is not upset. Also, He's not surprised.
Well, right. Isn't it in His plan all along? So He knows it's going to happen. I mean, and I think during these times, at least for me, like we talked about before, you can choose to use it and become closer to Him, or you can turn away and be angry. And so obviously the first is a better choice. How can we grow closer to God during these troubled times?
Well, I think as we're going to see as I elaborate on these points, as we go into the scripture, we grow closer by actually beginning to embrace what He has for us. He's there in the midst of it. He's there in the midst of any suffering or difficulty we go through. He's there in the midst of our questions. And He actually, if He's in us, which we believe is absolutely true by virtue of baptism and the sacramental life, He dwells in us. So a big lesson for us practically is to learn and to cultivate the habit of turning to Him with who is in us already. This is the basic teaching on prayer, too. With the Rediscover series on prayer is taking place right now. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, He says, go into the inner chamber, go into the hidden place, go into the place of your heart where He already is, where your Father sees, and turn to your Father who sees in secret. The saints always, always say, you should be praying way more than we pray, number one. And
right.
In times when we're pressed, anxious, busy, scrambling around with families, with suffering, with difficulties, pray even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's precisely when we say, oh, I can't, I don't have time, and I just got to handle this, and I got to figure this out. That's precisely when we need to learn, as Jesus himself learned. We forget this, that he learned obedience through suffering and going into prayer, with, as the scripture says, with loud cries and tears to his heavenly Father.
What do you hope people will take home from your talk? Have about half a minute.
Well, I think a realistic view, number one, and therefore greater confidence in our Father. You know, Jesus again says, when we turn to our Father, he already knows our needs before we ask him. Part of what he wants us to do, and what I hope we begin to learn to do, is to recognize his providential, fatherly love for us, which never fails, and to constantly have confidence in him. That is encouraging.
Yeah, it is. Just faith in general. Well, thank you so much, Deacon Mihalik, for speaking with us, and we look forward to your talk.
Thank you very much.
Now, here are the details again on those that talk that we just mentioned. It's titled Crisis and Difficulty, A Time for Growth, and it takes place on Wednesday, February 19th. That's next Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Presentation will be held in Howley Hall on the lower level of Holy Spirit Catholic Church in St. Paul. That's at 515 Albert Street in St. Paul. Crisis and Difficulty, A Time for Growth is the first talk in the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute 2014 Learn and Live Lecture Series. The talk is free, and all are welcome to attend.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from one of the speakers at the upcoming men's conference.
And we'll run through a listing of Catholic events happening around town. One coming up tonight, if you're listening to the live broadcast on Friday, Matt Maher with Toby Mack at the St. Paul River Center. Tickets start at $34. At last check, some were still available. As we go to break, here's Matt Maher and his song, Your Grace Is Enough. We'll be right back.
Remember your people. Children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? You wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. There's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. Oh, the old has passed away.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. The annual Archdiocesan Men's Conference is coming up in just over a month.
And it's a great opportunity for men to come together with hundreds of other Catholic men for Mass, fellowship, and food, and to hear inspiring speakers.
Keynote speaker this year is Dr. Douglas Bushman, who will encourage men to set a steady course through life's ups and downs. Also speaking, local hockey hero Brian Bonin. This week, Brian shared his thoughts about dedication, why putting time and effort into growing your faith is ultimately the most worthwhile output.
If you really want to be good, you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to do this. And I always wanted to be that. That just so then related. So that's where I think some of the good things from a game, from a sport that can be taught. Well, I looked at my faith and thought, well, I mean, I have no faith. And I've never really heard the gospel, and I've never read the Bible. And when I go to Mass, I'm distracted all the time. I really have no idea, and I've never read a good book, a good Catholic book. So many things came out that just made me feel, I was quite embarrassed, and still am a little bit, about it. But now I've put so much effort, I find now I can speak about it because I've put some effort into it, and it's only to create the conversation at this men's group or somewhere else. But again, no one else seems to be doing it, so why I'm going to do it. And I really started to want to live the faith. I really started to embrace the faith and just, I love this. I love everything about it. It's so big. There's so many things. But as I jumped into it, I didn't jump really deep enough. So the more I read, the more I was challenged to go, okay, I'm kind of all in here, and I'm telling other people to be all in, but I don't really have enough for them to be all in. I can't explain it well enough. I mean, I got to read more books. I got to dig a little deeper. I need to do some of these things. That's exactly what you need to do if you want to be a really good athlete or a really good artist or a really good something. It's just repetition over and over and over and digging in deep to, I don't know, watching film on hockey and watching film on something else and doing yoga and doing Pilates and doing this and doing that. If you want to be that, this day and age, if you want to be, so here's the connection to hockey, you want to play for the Minnesota Wild, these are the things you're going to have to do, and they're going to be extremely difficult. And you may not make it. So I hope you didn't do everything in this basket, because what if you'd be a good artist, or what if you'd be a good doctor, or what if you'd be... So, but they translate. The difference is in the church, everyone gets to make the team. Everybody gets to play, you don't get cut. You don't lose out. But in order to be the best, you have to do all those things. Hockey, it may not happen. In your faith, it will be a process, but you never get cut. You always get to be part of that team. And that's what I think is so neat about it, and that we've lost. And in hockey, you're going to put everything into this, and you might get cut, and then it's done. And it can be all for naught in some very, very formative, very, very formative years.
Now, here are the details on the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, where Brian Bonin will be sharing his inspiring testimonial. It's March 22nd at the Anderson Field House on the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Adoration and Confession starts at 7 a.m., Mass at 8 a.m., followed by inspiring talks. Keynote, Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute. The event ends at noon. Adult admission, $20. Student admission, $10. To register, go to archspm.org, search Men's Conference under Events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information. And a reminder, we'll have Dr. Bushman on our show next week.
And a reminder about the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series Talks, which begin on Monday, February 24th. Talks in the series begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. Here are the dates for Our Lady of Grace in Edina. February 24th, Rediscover Why Pray, presented by Father Bill Baer. And March 3rd, Rediscover How to Pray, presented by Pat and Kenna Millay. And the dates for the St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. Talks are February 25th, Rediscover Why Pray, and March 4th, Rediscover How to Pray.
And as we mentioned earlier on the show, you're invited to attend a special talk on Wednesday, February 19th, 7 p.m. at Holy Spirit Catholic Church in St. Paul. Deacon Joe Mihalik will present Crisis and Difficulty, A Time for Growth. It's the first talk in the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute 2014 Learn and Live Lecture Series. The presentation will be held in Holly Hall on the lower level of the church. It's free. All faithful invited to attend.
And make plans to attend St. Paul's Outreach Benefit Banquet on March 4th. Check-in and cocktail hour starts at 6 p.m. St. Paul's Outreach builds engaging, faith-filled communities on college campuses here in Minnesota and other places in the U.S. Through a variety of outreach and formation activities, college students are brought to a deeper relationship with Christ and the fullness of the Catholic Church. The Benefit Banquet will be held the evening of Tuesday, March 4th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Bloomington. Attendees will have the opportunity to speak with current SPO missionaries and program participants, as well as learn more about this important ministry. Cost is $87 per person. You can register today at www.spoweb.org or call 651-451-6114. That's 651-451-6114.
I'm such a great admirer of St. Paul's Outreach. They do such a needed job on campuses. Registration is open now for the annual Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat on March 8th. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, and it takes place from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter's Catholic Church in North St. Paul. This inspiring morning of prayer and reflection features two talks by Relevant Radio's Father Rocky. Theme is The Lost Art of Femininity. Cost is $15 per person. Women of all ages are invited. Come and bring a family member or friend with you. To register, go to archspm.org and search under events or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information. We'll talk with Father Rocky live about this special event on our show next week.
Yeah, I'm signed up already, locked and loaded. I'm going to attend, and I'm looking forward to it. And let's see, the healthcare workers are invited to the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference on March 28th and 29th at St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Continuing education credits are available, and find out more and register online at rediscoveringjoy.com. That's rediscoveringjoy.com. And for more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, we'll hear from Relevant Radio's Father Rocky about two local talks he's giving. Find out how you can take part.
And Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute offers a preview of this talk at the 2014 Men's Conference.
Plus, exercise your duty as a faithful citizen. Educate yourself about legislative issues facing Minnesota Catholics today. Find out about a special learning opportunity, the Rediscover Hour, next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.